Okay, so this matchroom card in, where was it? Uzbekistan. So the first fight we'll talk about is
Mirazizbek Mirzakhalilov and Tasha
so Mrs. God, I'm always butchering these Eastern European names.
Mirzakhalilov.
Mirzakhalilov.
Yeah, that's the one.
Okay, Mirzakhalilov versus what's the other guy called?
Georgie.
Joaji. Mjwaji. All right, he is the one that calls himself the prospect killer. Is that what it is? Talent killer. Okay, the talent killer. How many rounds did that go? One round, first round knockout. Yeah, him and the other Tanzanian guy who they brought over. I mean, they look like they just started boxing yesterday. It was sad. Surely they could have found somebody more competent than this guy to come and fight Mirzakhalilov, who is a very highly touted, decorated amateur, and so on and so forth. Obviously, it was his debut, so you're not going to expect them to put him in with anybody too great. But given the fact that, well, I'm assuming he's had hundreds of amateur fights, a lot of these guys have. Please correct me if I'm wrong. Somebody who's had hundreds of amateur fights, you're putting him in with this guy in his pro debut, you can do better than that. So the less said about that, the better. It was, I mean, that was the one where the Tanzanian guy kept jumping on the floor, isn't it? Like he was getting hit with stuff that wasn't that solid, and then he was finding himself on the floor. Like he was moving around the ring, bookie. Looked like a complete novice. So yeah, that was that fight. Sad stuff. We move on to the next fight that we saw. What was the next fight? Oh, well, not the next fight that we saw, but the next fight on this list.
Korda Yalalov and Christopher Soutis.
Okay, Yalalov.
Heavyweight.
Oh, the heavyweight fight. Okay, so this heavyweight is 7-0, 250 pounds. He went in there with some guy who I've never seen before. I'm assuming he's a journeyman or a ex-fringe contender or something. This Yalalov guy, 7-0, based out of Brooklyn. These are the guys, these Uzbek guys, who all are trained by Tim Bradley's ex-trainer, Diaz, Yoel Diaz. They all seem to be trained by him because he was over there and he was in the corner of a lot of these guys. And I'm assuming they're all based out of what, the same gym in America, New York, perhaps. So Yalalov, very tall, southpaw, 6'7". He is quite, even though he's 250 pounds, he isn't 250 pounds the way, let's say, Joe Joyce, who's actually bigger than 250. You know, he doesn't look that heavy set and bulky. He's more of a gangly looking 250 pounds, 6'7". Gangly southpaw, put his shots together quite well. You know, a little bit robotic. I didn't think he was the most fluid fighter I've ever seen in my life. Again, not incredibly quick, but at 6'7", 250 pounds, most people are not. But yeah, definitely a guy to watch out for. He had a lot of fights in the amateurs. He was in the Olympic qualifying tournament. He got to the preliminaries, but obviously the Olympics last year never happened. So he's got an extensive amateur background. So this is definitely somebody we need to look out for. And he's only 26 years of age, which for a heavyweight at 7-0, at 8-0 now, he's got plenty of time on his hands. And with the extensive amateur background, they should be able to move him fairly quickly. And perhaps we'll see some success at world level for this guy sometime in the future. But at the moment, early stages of his career, he looked decent enough in beating this guy. There was nothing that really jumped out about him to me, other than his size and obviously technically competent. But there wasn't any like super speed or reflexes or crazy combinations that I haven't seen from anybody else. So yeah, seems a decent prospect, but we'll have to keep an eye on him before coming to any conclusions. All right, what was the next one? Okay, Hasan Boy Dusmatov versus Muhsin Kizota. All right, this is another Tanzanian. And this guy was even worse than the previous Tanzanian. I mean, this guy really, I don't know what he was doing in there. He had a pencil neck. His chin was higher than the Eiffel Tower up in the air. I mean, he literally he had giant shorts on. I mean, the way he was moving around the ring, it was like Pee Wee Herman boxing. It was horrible. So they put him in there like a sacrificial lamb against Dusmatov. Again, a guy who has had as much experience as Dusmatov has had. I know that in the lighter weights, it's a lot more difficult to get opponents because there's far fewer boxers down at those very low weights. So maybe I shouldn't be too harsh in terms of them picking this particular opponent. But they're really scraping the barrel, bringing this guy over. Surely there's somewhere in the vast, vast regions of Eastern Europe and Asia where they could have found somebody more suitable than this. Maybe it had to do with the restrictions and what have you, because in Tanzania, of course, there are no restrictions or very, very little restrictions. So maybe it was just easier bringing people over from there. Perhaps that's what it is. I don't know. But yeah, this was a horrendous mismatch, which went, what was it, two rounds? The funny thing about it is, even though my man got pieced up in there, the Tanzanian guy, he acted like he wanted to go on. Was it the referee that threw, was it the corner that threw in the towel? The referee stopped it. But he acted like he wanted to go on, didn't he? He looked like he was disappointed that a fight was stopped. It was only going to get worse from there. He did get put down with a good left hand, didn't he? Was it a left hand that he got put down with? Got put down with a good shot. Got back up. He fought on bravely, but he just had absolutely no ability, no technical know-how. Probably very, very inexperienced over there in Tanzania. And yeah, he was a lamb to the slaughter. So another easy fight, really, for the A side of the card. He's 2-0. Going into the fight, he's now 3-0. So what was the next one that we saw?
Next one was Israel Madrimov and Emeni Kalombo.
Okay, so this was the first decent fight we saw in the card. And this was a real good, in fact, it was the best fight on the card. Madrimov versus Colombo. I've seen Madrimov before. In fact, I swear he fought in, did he fight in New York? Was it the Eric Walker fight? Okay, yeah, okay, it was in Tulsa, not in New York. Okay, yeah, in Tulsa. Yeah, I remember that fight. That was a real good fight he had with Eric Walker. That was a real tough fight. And that was the first time I think I saw Madrimov. Madrimov does have a little bit of a resemblance to Gennady Golovkin, and I know a lot of people online were saying that, like, he has a similar kind of face and build and what have you. He does, I don't want to say vaguely, maybe more than vaguely resembles Golovkin, and he has a different style to Golovkin, though. Even though he can apply pressure, and you know, we've seen him hurt guys in his young career so far, but to me he looks a bit more athletic than Golovkin. You know, Golovkin is a good technical fighter, comes forward, you know, very heavy-handed, and he can box long range as well, Golovkin. We've seen him even box on the back foot. But he's not the most athletic guy, Golovkin. This guy appears to be, Madrimov appears to be more athletic than Golovkin, but perhaps not as heavy-handed, because Colombo, I don't want to take nothing away from him, he was a big guy for the weight, super welterweights, these two. Big guy, strong, plenty of heart, and I think that the commentator Nick Hawlin and Paul Smith, they didn't really give Colombo enough credit for a lot of the work he was doing. Obviously, Madrimov is the zone guy, and that's why, you know, they were biased in his favor. But it was a little, I think, disrespectful through the early rounds, them not really giving him the credit that he deserved for the work he was doing. Not like he was necessarily winning, but they were making out as though Madrimov was winning every single round and it wasn't even competitive, when if you actually watch it properly, it was competitive for a lot of the rounds. Colombo was in it for most of the fight, but I would say around the 7th, 8th, Madrimov really started to put his foot on the gas, and he scored a knockdown in, what round was the knockdown?
8th.
In the 8th. Mm-hmm. All right, so he scored a knockdown in the 8th round. That was a good knockdown. Colombo wasn't seriously hurt. He was kind of caught square. So he was caught square-footed. And Madrimov cracked him with, was it a left hand or a right hand? I forget now. But he went down. And you could tell by the way he went down, the way he was trying to break his fall, that he wasn't terribly hurt. But it was a legit knockdown. It was, you know, good shot. He got back up and he was slugging away. You know, Madrimov actually ended up with more facial damage than Colombo did. And that's no measure of who won the fight, of course, because some people just bruise up and cut up easier than others. But either way, it was a measure of how competitive it was to some degree, because Colombo was doing fairly well in it. The issue for Colombo, for me, is that he was just a lot slower than Madrimov definitely slower. I don't think he was quite as creative with his combinations and with his boxing. Madrimov showed the ability to come forward, land shots, nice body shots. He was landing straight shots to the body. Then he was coming over the top to the head. Whereas Colombo, he tried to do the same, but he just wasn't as skillful and not as versatile as Madrimov. You know, a guy who's as tall as Colombo, you would imagine at some point he would try to get up on his toes and box. But I don't know if he's done that in previous fights, whether he's just one of these tall guys that can't really use his height and reach to the best of his ability, doesn't utilize those tools as well as he should, or whether he just decided that coming to Uzbekistan against an Uzbek fighter, he was never going to win a decision anyway. So therefore he said, you know what, let me just try to go for the knockout. And that's what he tried to do. And, you know, all respect to him, he tried his best, but Madrimov was the more talented fighter. You know, as much as Colombo applied as much pressure as he could and fought gallantly, showed a lot of heart and toughness, Madrimov was the more talented guy, and he was the deserved winner in the end. A unanimous decision over the course of 10 rounds, and a very good learning fight for him. In fact, he's had some tough fights now. The previous fight I mentioned, which he had in Oklahoma, that was a tough fight for him, good learning fight. And this one against Colombo was also a good fight. So I think these are good matchmaking fights. You know, whoever the matchmakers are here are doing a good job, because these kind of experiences will bring him along and teach him a lot more than just blowing people out in one or two rounds. So yeah, it was definitely a good fight. I enjoyed it. The knockdown, it kind of built to a crescendo, this fight, because early on it was a little bit slow and tentative between the two. But as the fight progressed, they got down to proper action, good exchanges, hard shots landed by both consistently as well. There was a point in the fight, I want to say around the middle rounds, where Colombo really was landing consistently. I know my man, what's his name again, Nick Hawlin, didn't want to acknowledge it, but in a lot of the rounds, Colombo was landing real good shots and they seemed to be ignoring him. But as I say, Madrimov did do the better work and he definitely deserved the victory in the end. So yeah, good fight. So anyway, let me know what you guys felt. Oh, hang on, is there another one?
Mm-hmm. Shakram Gasov and Patricio Lopez Moreno.
You know, the okay. So Shakram Gasov versus Patricio Moreno. Gasov looked good. He was applying pressure, much shorter guy. Moreno, big, tall, skinny Mexican. This fight was in the super lightweight division. Moreno, he looked like Bambi on ice at times in there. I mean, he was just all arms and legs. If you can imagine a spider on roller skates, you know, that's kind of like how Moreno was. And Gasov was just walking him down, stalking him, hitting him with big shots here and there. He had him down. Does it say what round he had him down in? Was there only one knockdown in the fight? And that was in the third round. Okay. Yeah, he hit him with a, I think it was a body shot, was it? I think it was a body shot he hit him with. And Moreno decided, you know what, enough is enough. I don't want to be here no more. I think I've earned my money. So let me find a soft spot on the canvas to lay myself down on and sit out the count. And that was pretty much it. Can't really blame him too tough. He did take some decent punishment. He had a cut on his scalp, which was bleeding. I don't think it was really getting into his eye too tough. But, you know, he did take some punishment. He took some good body shots, good head shots. And you can't be too angry at a guy like that for taking that kind of punishment when he's completely overmatched. And then he decides to sit out the count, you know. Because he's not like he's on the same level as the other guy. When one guy is totally outmatched and nowhere near the same level as the other guy, you can't be too angry when he decides to sit out the count. You know, I'm not one of these people who is super harsh on fighters when they've gone in there and given it a go, and then after taking loads of punishment they decide to quit. I mean, who am I to say that they shouldn't? You know, I'm not the one in there taking the punches. At least they gave it a go and took some punishment before they went out. So it is what it is. Gasov is now 11-0, excuse me. 9 by KO, 11-0, 9 by KO, and indeed, he's based in Brooklyn as well. So I'm late to the party when it comes to this particular Uzbek team. They were all, I guess, like a brotherhood. That's what they were saying on the commentary, isn't it? They're like a band of brothers, and they all seem to be trained, or quite a few of them seem to be trained by UL Diaz. So anyway, it was a decent little card there. Eddie Hearn wasn't in attendance, but Frank Smith was there. We saw him in the audience. We saw old Frankie Boy Smith. Eddie Hearn wasn't there. And Diamante. You want to have a... You know what I'm saying? And about Diamante's hair? Huh? Why? Why? You making comments on Diamante. You say something about Diamante's hair.
No, nothing.
Just say
it looked perfect.
No, it didn't. Come on. Tell me what was wrong with Diamante's hair.
Someone needs to give him a bit of a hair makeover, because them colours there were not looking... They were looking a bit serious.
No, what was happening?
It was too much. There's a bit of grey, a bit of ginge there. I don't know what colour his hair... And the beard is a different colour. Like, someone help him.
The beard's
him.
Like a dark brown.
Someone help him out.
So the beard is dark brown. Then top the, of side, the, hair. The side of the hair is what is a grey.
Grey.
And then the top of the hair is ginger. Ginger. And then the dreadlocks are a combination of all three. Yeah. So he looked like...
Help a brother out, people. Help a brother out.
He looked like the wife from the Addams Family. You know, with the hair. You know?
We like him still, though.
Yeah, we like Diamante. Okay.